Good evening. Sure is good to be back with you again tonight. It just wouldn't seem the same if this place were empty and nobody was here. But do you ever feel that way inside? You're empty. There's something that should be there, but it's not. There is something perhaps that is amiss in our lives. Well, I'm here to tell you that even though we're very independent, we are really totally dependent. And the reason I say that is because of what the Apostle Paul had to say to the church at Colossae. If you would please look there with me tonight, the book of Colossians, chapter 2. And I'd like for us to begin here in verse 6. Here Paul says, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware, lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power." You notice that as we begin to read in verse 6, Paul says that you have received Christ Jesus the Lord. And then he said, therefore. And I know I don't need to beat the word therefore in, because I believe we have done that several times throughout our Bible classes. But as Paul goes on to say in verse 10, that we are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power. Perhaps the reason many people of this world feel that way, there is something missing in their lives, is because they are missing Jesus Christ. When we go on to study what it truly means to be complete in Him, the idea tells us how filling Christ is, that He fulfills all in all. He helps us to accomplish anything. And Christ has fully come, being God in the flesh. He completed the task that His Father has left for Him to do. He satisfies every need that you have and that I have. And thus Christ should abound in us. That is how Christ helps us to be complete. But now, I'd like for us to break that down into two specific areas. First of all, we need Christ to be complete physically. You know, we really would not exist if it were not for Him. In your minds, when you go back to the book of Acts in chapter 17, as Paul was explaining to those that believed in many different gods, and even in one in which they were unaware of, Paul begins to tell them who the one true God really is. And there in Acts chapter 17 and in verse 28, Paul explained it this way. He said, "It is in Him that we live and move and have our very being." Then he went on to say, "For we are also His offspring." Yes, we cannot exist without Jesus Christ. The air that we breathe, the water that we drink, the food that we have to eat, everything comes from Him. You'll recall the Scriptures also teach us that every good and every perfect gift is from above. And did not Christ come from above? We know this very plainly, as the psalmist said in the familiar 100th chapter. There in verse 3, "It is He that has made us, and not we ourselves." We cannot make ourselves. we needed Him to help us. He was the one that was in the beginning helping you and me to become who we are even today. But I find another psalm that goes along with this very idea. And that is Psalm number 139. Here in Psalm chapter 139, notice what David writes here and in verse 13. Psalm 139 and in verse 13. He says, "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well." We are very unique beings, in that we have a body, and we also have a soul. And it is God that has given both of these. You can go back to the book of Genesis and read about that creation, how it was that God formed man out of the dust of the earth, how He breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and how man became a living soul. And so everything we have is totally dependent upon God. And yes, Jesus was in the beginning with God. Isn't that how the Gospel of John starts out? And the big book of John, chapter 1, and in verse 1, the very familiar words John writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him. And without Him, nothing was made that was made." Nothing would exist if Christ wouldn't help to make it. And we think about what that means for you and for me. We look down to verse 14. That tells us that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John and others could attest to the fact that, yes, Jesus was the Word of God and was God in the flesh. Jesus spoke the words of His Heavenly Father. He lived the things that He taught. And yes, we can even read words in pages that records many things in which Jesus had done. When we look at all of this and go back in our minds to the beginning of the hand that Jesus had, perhaps you'll recall in the first chapter of Genesis, there in verse 26, exactly how God created us. We're told that God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created them, male and female, He created them. You and I are created in the image of God, according to His likeness. And we think about Jesus Christ, who was God in the flesh, learn from His example, we would know how to live. We would know what to do if Christ hadn't done that for us. And so when we think about all these things, we're reminded of the words of Paul to those in Ephesus. In Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 24, Paul reminds us that you have put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. We put on a new man. How do we do so? Because of what Paul explained in Romans chapter 6. The old man has been crucified with his deeds. and we put on the new man when we decide to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, dying to the old self, crucifying the body of sin, having our sins washed away through baptism, and being raised again to walk in a newness of life, a life that is patterned after the example of Jesus Christ. And when we wonder how to live just so, what am I going to do each and every day to keep living? We couldn't do that without Christ again. Paul told the Philippians in chapter 4 and in verse 19 that my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Everything we need, we do not get for ourselves. Paul says that God supplies it. How many times do we stop to thank God for what we have? Or like many people in the world, do we say, this is what I did for me? Do we get all the glory? Or does it really go to God as it should? That was the attitude of Paul, was it not? To give God the glory, not the things unto himself. You'll remember his words to the Philippians in chapter 4 and in verse 13 when he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Again, where does Paul's strength come from? Not himself, but from Christ. Again, if we need help to get through many difficult times, we cannot rely upon our own strength, but instead from the strength that comes from Christ. So just as we need Christ physically each and every day, we also need Him spiritually. If we want to have an everlasting life, if we want to receive a home in heaven, these things would not be possible without Him preparing the way and doing what His Father has called Him to do. And when He did His Father's will, there was something that was taken away and something else that was put in its place. The book of Hebrews tells us all about that. The difference in the old law and in the new law. But here in Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 8, we find the spiritual significance that it has for you and for me. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 8, we read these words. Previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which were offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first that he might establish the second. And notice verse 10. By that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. It is because of Christ offering himself that I become sanctified. I can be a separate part of the world. I can say there are those that are living in sin, and then there are those that have had their sins washed away. There are those that have died to sin and no longer live therein. And therefore, they can try to tell others about a sinless man who died that their sins also might be taken away. It is those that are sanctified that become pure and holy in God's sight. It is those that have that promise of heaven laid up for them. And when we hear these things that, yes, I can be a part of that group that can enjoy all the spiritual blessings that are in the heavenly places in Christ, as Paul taught the Ephesians in chapter 1 and verse 3, doesn't that give you a good feeling? Doesn't that give you encouragement to learn more about a loving God, to do more of the things that He says that we will be blessed? That was Paul's attitude toward those in Rome. As he was writing his letter to the Romans in chapter 15, he said these words here in verse 13. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13 says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another." But are we missing these things? Does there seem like a time when there is no joy at all, or very little joy in your life? Are there times in which you say, "I just am not at peace with myself, at peace with one another, or most importantly, at peace with God"? Do we ever say that I'm not sure about the hope that I have? Maybe because I'm not doing the things that God has said for me to do. Maybe we still have that empty feeling. But you see, that's where Christ makes His mark. That's when we remember the sacrifice that He has made for us. And He did that for you and for me because He loves us. "Greater love hath no man than this, than he laid down his life for his friends." And Jesus said that we are His friends if we do whatsoever He commands us. And you could read that in John chapter 15, there in verse 14. So when we try to get a grasp of the love of God, that ought to fill us with everything that we need. Notice then what Paul told the Ephesians in chapter 3. Look at that with me now. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning here in verse 14. Here Paul begins to explain this mystery revealed to those in Ephesus. He says, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." We can be filled with all the fullness of God. When we think who God is, about His love for us, and imagine that we can all be filled with that. Who God is, who Christ is, how Christ would abide in us, and we can abide in Him. Paul went on to tell the Ephesians in the next chapter, in chapter 4 and verse 10, that He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that He might fill all things. Christ will fill all things. But notice that He who descended is also the one who ascended. I like to think of this descension and ascension in more than one realm. First of all, we remember that Christ was in the beginning with God, and then He descended to the earth. Remember, He made Himself a little lower than the angels, even though He ascended, because He has a name that is above every name, and that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and there will come a time in which every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. But then, after doing His Father's will, He ascended to go back into heaven. until the time in which He will come and get us again. He was made lower. He ascended in a physical sense, but as we see also, even in a spiritual sense. And during that time, Christ said He wants to fill us, giving everything that we might need. Paul told the Philippians there in chapter 1 and in verse 11 exactly what we can be filled with. Paul says, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are, you guessed it, by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness. The New Testament tells us about the fruit of the Spirit, the fruits of righteousness, the things that we need to have in our lives to live the kind of life that God would be pleased with. And if we do so, that would lead us to have the love and the joy and the peace with God, with others, and ourselves. Can you imagine a group of people, a huge group of people, that all had these things? Love, joy, and peace? Well, I've got news for you. There is a group here today that has that. And that group is the Lord's church. Just as individuals, we can be filled with Christ. Remember that the church is made of individuals. And notice what Paul had to say about that church as we turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Here in Ephesians chapter 1, I'd like for us to look a few moments, beginning in verse 17, of how when we come together, there is something we are filled with. Ephesians chapter 1, and beginning in verse 17. Paul says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and mind and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over who? All things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. The church is the body of Christ, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. You see that which we have in common? All being filled with Christ, being filled with His love, joy, and peace one for another. The book of Colossians is very similar to that of Ephesians. And in chapter 1, beginning in verse 9, Paul again says something very, very similar. He says it this way to those in Colossae. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. You know, up to this point, Paul does a good job summarizing the things that we have in Christ. How He fills us with all the physical and the spiritual blessings. How we are separated from the world, having our sins forgiven, washed away. It also helps us to better understand who He is. He continues in verse 15 by saying, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. You see, Christ should be in everyone and everything, having the preeminence. He is truly Lord of all. So we know Christ is everything to us, as we sang just a few moments ago. But I challenge you tonight, are we everything to Him? Just as we are dependent upon Christ, you know, Christ is dependent upon us. He has done a lot of things for us, but there is something that He needs you and me to do. In Paul's letter to the Colossians, in chapter 4, there in verse 17, Paul says, "And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it." We have a ministry to fulfill. We all have our gifts, our talents, our abilities. God has equipped us to do many things for Him. As a matter of fact, in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, there in chapter 2 and in verse 10, he says, "For we are His workmanship, created how? In Christ Jesus, for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." God's not going to do all the work, but He has equipped us to do the job through Him. But it's up to you and it's up to me to get the job done. You'll recall that as John was writing to the seven churches in Asia and the book of Revelation, there in chapter 3 we read about the church in Sardis. And you remember what the words of the Lord were to those in Sardis? In Revelation chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, here is what these words are. "And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says He who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God." Kind of scary, isn't it? They knew that they were created to do good works, but they were not doing them. If we can only imagine what our lives would be without God, without Christ, it would be hard because there wouldn't be one. Imagine how Christ would be without His church, without you and without me, doing the things that He has called us to do. Do we still have that empty feeling? Are we truly incomplete? Well, the reason is because we are without Christ. We are incomplete without Christ. Christ would be incomplete what thou dost. As the church, we are his body. And there is a work that he's called each and every one of us to do. Are you a member of the Lord's church? Are you truly complete in him? And are you willing to do what he needs you to do? He has done a lot for us. Why can't we do something for him? This evening we're about to sing a song of encouragement. And if there be one tonight that needs to respond to the invitation, we encourage you to come as together we stand and sing.